What is one myth or misconception about your generation?
Especially in the context of work, is that we're lazy. I tend to believe, rather than lazy, that we try to work smarter and not harder. So we'll bring in a lot of those new technologies, such as ChatGPT, AI, just a lot of new technologies to kind of help ease our workload a little bit at work.
Oh, absolutely. It would be that we're lazy. We're always invested hardcore into technology. Like that's just what we do. Social media, wanting to all be influencers. I feel like everyone thinks like we all want to be YouTubers or like influencers of some sort. Not having, financial stability.
Yes, I hear time and time again that we are bad daters. And one, I blame dating apps. If you're on dating apps, I don't trust you. And two, but we're not all bad daters. And I'm living proof of that.
I think they think we're slackers and we're probably more hardworking than a lot of the boomers, other than, the millennials. So I think that's the misconception, is that they think we have it easier because we're older.
That we don't care, that we are apathetic. I think that we came up in a time when we were sort of conditioned not to care, following, the 60s and the civil rights and all of the protests that happened during that time. I think they really wanted our generation to just be quiet. And so, we were distracted in a lot of ways. We were in a lot of ways told not to care. But we really care.
That we're all lazy and don't like to work.
Following the traditional model of career, buying a house, building a family. Definitely, I think the market has changed. Like, real estate is more expensive these days. There's definitely still people who, want that. However, I think with the flexibility of moves of work, there is way more people of my generation who are seeking lives that come out of this model and maybe don't involve purchasing real estate, involve moving around a bit more, having careers that span not only across the country, but across the globe. I would say like the priority is more set on experiences and travel and adventure than, I would say, safety and comfort, even though we do seek safety and comfort in other ways.
Is that we're responsible for every one of society's grievances?
I think it is that we have this sense of entitlement. I don't know, I personally have worked with a lot of folks from my own generation, and I do think that by and large, we're people who want to be successful, care about the work that we're doing, and take a lot of pride in our careers. So I don't know, I haven't run into that as much as you hear about it.
I think they were considered the wealthy generation, but I think it's somewhat of a misconception simply because the ones that I know of today, they still have to, even though they're retired, they still have to work. Not only to keep their mind sharp, but because of the high cost of living.
I would say that people think we're over the hill. We're out of touch. We're living in the past.
Describe a monumental experience that you feel shaped or characterized your generation.
Say that it's politics. And so I know that that's rather broad and can apply to multiple generations. However, for the Gen Z generation, I feel like there's a lot of firsts, right? So with Obama, we saw our first Black president that was elected into office during our generation. Later we saw a 180-degree shift once Trump was elected to office, which caused a huge shift in the political landscape. And now we are looking at the potential for our first female president to be elected in this upcoming election with Kamala Harris. So there's a lot of firsts for politics, especially during my generation. And super exciting to see.
I would say COVID-19. I think always socializing all the time, and then to go from that. And I think that also made a transition into this influencer being invested online a lot all the time, because like, obviously that's what everyone was doing. I think that shaped a lot of generations, like almost every, but I feel like it impacted ours the most because we were still in school. Like we were still doing schooling. Mm-hmm. We were still, you know, in college. I was in college. I had my freshman year. And then halfway through sophomore year, it was like, everyone's got to leave immediately. You have like, we had like, what, 48 hours to get a plane, get on a train. And I feel like that impacted anxiety, like a lot of anxiety in a lot of our lives. And I think also it opened more doors to people seeking mental health. And I think that also made us more open, especially within the workplace that used to be like a huge no-no. And like creating more, I guess, more openness within our generation, being able to show who we really are, not as much as masking. Because I know I used to mask a lot. And now I'm just like, you know what, I'm just going to express myself how I feel in the moment now. But I think, yeah, a lot of online influence too. I used to not be online all the time. I would always go out, party. And I think I also became more like, okay with being alone, and not having to socialize, having more of like a tight knit friend group instead of like huge cliques. So I think it made a huge impact on our generation, at least the most.
Growing up with the internet and social media, because in a way it has just kind of morphed our brains a certain way, especially Gen Z, and our perspective, I feel like, would be completely different if we didn't have social media shoved down our throats in a way. I feel bad for the Gen Alpha as well.
It's probably the same answer a lot of people will give, but 9/11, because, you know, we lived through it. We saw it. I saw it happen while it was going on. It was just a devastating event. And we were kind of there firsthand to see it on TV happening live. And it just kind of shaped. And it's one of those things you just never forget.
It's really interesting. I think that AIDS is something that impacted our generation in a particular way that maybe doesn't get talked about as much today. And we don't think about it as much. We've had so many other sort of like viruses and health scares. But at the time, the way that it was approached and the way that it was handled politically and socially, I think was very traumatizing. And I think that I think it created a lot of challenges for our generation in particular ways. It also, I guess, in some ways elevated a lot of things that maybe up until that point weren't really getting attention. And so it was just a very difficult thing that I remember.
We were Nancy Reagan's war on drugs first victims.
I think this was a monumental experience for all generations, but I wanted to speak to how it touched millennials particularly. So COVID, and I felt this personally, but I was also surrounded by like friends and people in a similar age range. For example, I graduated from my MBA right before COVID happened. And so I went from being on a, I would say, very upward trajectory career-wise. I had been a full year in a program, hyper-socializing. And then in a couple of weeks, the world shut down. We went into lack of socialization. And for someone who was in my, you know, second half of the 20s, but even anyone who was in their like mid-20s to mid-30s, those are the years where you're capitalizing on not only working with people around people, the people you get to meet at work or outside of work become your group of friends that you will take along with you most likely until like the end of your life. And it's an age where you don't have commitments or as many commitments typically, and you have more income, disposable income to enjoy and explore life. And so for that, I think it created a bit of like lost years of social experiences, socializing that we now have to catch up later at the age of like 30, when in past generations, typically at that age, that's when your social setting is set up, your career is set up, and you move on to like building a family.
The monumental event has been the recent, the last two financial crises. It stifled our initial earning potential. And then more recently, the massive layoffs from some of the most profitable companies have impacted our financial stability. And I feel like these events have set back millennials from earning or building generational wealth. Previous generations have been able to do so.
For me, it was the financial crisis of 2008 and the subsequent recession. That was right when I was graduating from college, and it really kind of sent me to the depths of despair in thinking about how I was going to start my own career, and kind of scuttled all the plans I'd made for myself. But we adapt.
You know, we used to live in a Leave It to Beaver world, and all of that changed. And with the change of music, it was a rebellious age, I think, even with the clothing and long hair for the guys.
The war in Vietnam, it was one of the most defining experiences for my generation, no matter which side of the issue you were on.
Describe a personal moment of nostalgia from your childhood.
So personally for me, it would be Southern comfort food. That's a big piece of nostalgia for me. I love cooking. I grew up in the kitchen with my mom. I'm a Texan born and raised. So I don't know that all of Gen Z can say this, but I definitely love to cook, and I bring Southern comfort into a lot of cuisines whenever I make food for my friends and family. Shaniqua, I'm sure you're aware. So I really love Southern comfort food, and anytime I have it, it just brings me right back to my childhood.
Like growing up, childhood nostalgia was going outside, playing outside all the time, and kind of like experiencing nature, but in a more imaginative and creative way. Like I had these pine trees in my backyard, and when it would snow, I would pretend I'm in Narnia, and I would like shake the tree branches and have the snow fall on me. But I was just pacing back and forth in this tiny spot, but I was immersed in this magical land that went far and beyond snowing on me. And so, yeah, a lot of outdoor play and hiking brings me back to that a lot. I feel like a lot of the times I talk to myself when I go hiking, kind of like go through like a mental like breakdown of like what I need to say to people, or like a difficult situation and navigating it through that meditative walk.
It started when I was 12, but every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., sat in front of my TV for the new episode of Pretty Little Liars. Yes. And I watched it for 7 years.
Like firecrackers. Because when I was, probably 12 or 13, I was in New Mexico. We would go to New Mexico frequently to visit family there. And of course, it's 4th of July. We're all popping fireworks. One's in my hand. I didn't let it go. Yeah. Popped in my hand. I was ice down for the rest of the evening. I stay away from fireworks now, so every time I see one, it's a little PTSD, but, you know, I'm like, okay, you'll have fun, but keep it over there. Yeah. Not a great nostalgia moment, but, you know.
You know, it seems like so basic, but it was really playing outside in my neighborhood. I grew up on, like a really traditional block, I guess, in the sense of it was just in a suburban neighborhood. It wasn't upper class. I guess it was, you know, probably middle class. But the thing about our block is, like, we maybe had 20 houses on that block, and there were probably 36 kids. And I just remember summers where we would, like, divide, like, one side of the block against the other side of the block and have, like, massive, like, water gun, water balloon fights that would, like, we'd be, like, in and out of each other's backyards and houses. And you could go into anybody's house and their mom would be there and, like, you know, be available to help you. And it's just, it was like this freedom of spirit that we got to experience. And it was just a short period of my life. It was like maybe 3 or 4 years, from like 7 to 10, but it's like I craved it for the rest of my life. Like, I still do now. I still want to go outside and just play with, like, all my neighbors like that. It's like,
oh wow. Because, like, the first thing that came to my mind when you said that was a girl on my softball team got murdered. Maybe that's not what you're looking for. Softball is really big.
I have worked in tech all my life, and I love tech, and I appreciate it. I just have fond memories of my great-grandparents' house. My great-grandfather hated TV, so we had only one TV in the house, and it kind of had made a rule that we could only watch for a certain amount of hours per day during the summer breaks. And I think initially it was an annoying rule as a kid. And it was a great rule because in the hot hours, yes, we watched TV. And afterwards, we were forced to be outside, get creative, invent worlds, invent adventures, invent games. The amount of games I've invented with my siblings and cousins, it was insane. Each season we had a new one. And we even got the grown-ups, you know, bought into these games. So just that, really, that's slowness and stillness that I'm seeking now today, much later on, was, I think, a moment that later generations will maybe not understand unless, you know, you're born in really a very, like, I'm going to say, like, marginalized area with no access to tech or you live in a place where people have made that decision for you.
Scholastic Book Fair. I remember my elementary school being transformed into, like, this magical space. There were puzzles, there were prizes, and my mom would give me $10, and I was rich as heck.
I have to say, I was always a bit of a computer nerd, and also grew up in a pretty strict household. And so when Napster first came about, and I was able to download all of the albums that my mom would not let me buy because of the parental warning explicit content, I was like a kid in a candy store. The first song I downloaded was Freak on a Leash by Korn, which is, yeah, it was a vibe. between that and then LimeWire, yeah, girl, I had them all.
I think one of the fondest memories was my dad, who worked, you know, he was a blue collar worker, and every Friday was payday, and he would come home and with a box of Cracker Jacks to each one of us kids. And we always look forward to that.
When I go to the beach. I know that may sound strange, but as a boy, I spent almost every decent day of the summer at the beach with my family.
In what ways does your generation socialize? How do you connect with each other best?
Gen Z definitely socializes through social media. You know, the rise of TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, or X, I should call it. And we really connect through things like memes, right? So one of the most prominent and recent examples of a meme is the Kamala Harris meme, where she's talking about, "You think I just fell out of the coconut tree?" And then Gen Z overlaps that onto Charlie XCX songs. And it's really genius if you think about it, because over the past couple of days, since Kamala has really started to, pursue the presidential candidate spot, they have really influenced a lot of Gen Zers with this whole meaning of Kamala and Charlie XCX. They've really kind of helped provide Gen Zers a little bit of identity and really trying to get them to get out there and vote. And it's been incredible to see the change.
How we socialize the most is through like texting, which I'm not the hugest fan of. I'm like, if you want to get immediately to me, you have to call. But I think overall, our generation is into like texting, but in a very minimal way, not as like huge paragraphs. I feel like it's about random stuff or like, hey, look at this meme. Or even just connecting through like our stories or like, hey, dude, like you free? Can I come scoop you? And like, that's how we would like ask to hang out. So I think communication is mostly through our technology rather than a phone call or like that interpersonal talking.
Definitely online. Definitely online. Me personally, I like face-to-face better. It just works better for me, but social media, texting, calling.
I think our generation actually talks to each other. You know, we're not on our phones constantly. And granted, I'm in marketing, so yes, there's a lot of social media, a lot of digital stuff that I deal with daily. But I think our generation just kind of talks to each other. We use our hands a lot. We can actually talking and sitting and talking, you know, you can socialize with a drink and still talk, and you're not in the corner on your phone or, you know, just secluding yourself from that. Mm-hmm. And I think we connect best when we talk, because I would rather pick up a phone and talk to somebody and get an answer rather than send an email, sit and wait, send a Teams message, sit and wait. Especially if it's that quick and I can pick up the phone, call, get my answer and be done.
I don't want to like disservice my generation. Sometimes I feel like we don't. We sometimes isolate a little bit. But when we do socialize, I think we do in small groups and in really connected interpersonal ways. Yeah, I like to say I don't have like a lot of friends, but the friends I have a lot. And so I feel like that's true for a lot of people in my generation. Now I call my friends weekly, sometimes daily. You know, I like to have really like that interpersonal connection, but it's a small group. It's a small select group, but I guess that's okay. That's perfectly okay.
I think Facebook is most Gen Xers' favorite way to socialize with each other. We don't necessarily want to see each other every day, but we don't mind like seeing about each other.
So I've noticed a lot of people are connecting through like communities or places or experiences with like-minded people. Especially, I find that it's even more true here in Austin. Like if you rock climb, then you're going to find your people at the rock climbing gym. And depending on where you live, I think there's more of a seeking of socialization than others. But definitely like through experiences, because that's where people are in, you know, in the flow, in their mode. It's less constricted. And also I think everyone has really busy schedules. So if you can tie in socializing and connecting with people with something that you like doing or you enjoy, just it can be as passive as, you know, listening to live music. It does also create more experiences that are imprinted in your mind, where there was a moment that you shared with a group of people. And I think that's also a counter effect of COVID times, where socializing through tech was the only way. However, it doesn't leave that same, I'd say, memory and feeling in the body for like years to come.
We're in our 30s and 40s, and I believe my generation often uses calendar invites to commit to in-person socializing. I think we value in-person socializing, but we need to use technology to confirm the meeting. And I think that we want more in-person socializing because we're yearning for close-knit communities that we grew up with.
I think we still really enjoy spending time with each other face-to-face. I know for myself and for a lot of my close friends, the lack of that during COVID was really, really hard. So I still think we are in-person generation when given the choice.
We socialize, I hate to say this, it's just done with food. And we're always going out to lunch or dinner or giving a party, going out to listen to music. And then with the more intimate settings, it lends itself for discussions about a lot of different things.
From my own personal experience, it would be by the telephone. A lot of people do use social media nowadays. It's been around long enough where people of my generation picked up on it. I personally don't do that, but on the phone, more than a text, you lose the influx of your voice, what you hear now. It's very sterile when you text, but it's a very quick way to get a quick message out, like, call me.
What special qualities do you notice in each of the other generations, baby boomers?
I would say that they're strict. And what I mean by strict is that they really love to follow the guidelines, right? They kind of want to stay in their box. They don't want to step out of that box too much. They have rules set in place and they really follow them to a T. And I kind of admire that. I definitely see Gen Z not taking that approach. Like,
I would say dedicated.
I'm going to say prideful. They think that they're right. And that's okay. It's their way or the highway.
I think baby boomers are very family oriented because they grew up, as their elders. Because my mother is 72. My grandmother would have been 90 this past year. So we're very family oriented anyway, but I think the boomers see that and want that for the generations that follow. And it's harder for the younger generations to accept that because they see it as being old fashioned and not, it's too much tradition, and they want to step out of that. And so I think the boomers are very traditional and family oriented.
It's that they're traditional, and I mean that in literally the best way. There's a comfort in that for me.
Closed-minded or reluctant to change, reluctant to, change.
Resilient for the boomers because of the fact that they're post-war babies.
Are resilient.
Grittiness.
I think it's our attitude. We're a very confident generation. Even though there was division in the 60s, pretty much 50 years later, my generation is confident in what we've done, where we've been. And looking back on our careers, most of us are fairly satisfied and we're enjoying our retirement.
Generation X.
I think that they're very independent. They like to do things on their own and kind of take charge and, bring that through in leadership. And so I think they are a very independent group of people.
Oh, loyalty.
Balance. I would say that they have innovation, but they also have tradition. They have a mix of the two. And that's why I would say balance.
Well, like I said, I think a lot of our, I think the misconception is they think we're slackers, but I think when I talk to Gen X people that I know, we're the ones who are here at 7 a.m. till 5:30, 6 o'clock, go home, you take your work home, which is not always a good thing, but we do work hard. And I think we work longer hours. We work harder at things. We try to attend more things than Generation Z or millennials. If they're not attending something, they don't care. They miss out on it. It's no big deal. for us, we need to attend it and be present.
In some ways, I think that Gen X is fearless. And I think that that's good. And I think we're just starting to like actually own that.
Is laid back.
Maybe counter scarcity, like, yeah, a sense of freedom.
I believe Gen X is driven, not in a way to appease authority, but I feel like Gen X is driven to live life on their own terms.
Honestly, I think it's that they just fly below the radar.
I think they're very resourceful. Lots of ideas.
They're pretty much the tech group. They kind of came into the whole situation, grew up with tech. So I think they're more techie than any of the other groups. Not now, perhaps, but the older generation X people. They're a little more tech savvy because they've had it their whole life. The rest of us had to play catch up, you know, especially, you know, my group, the boomers.
Millennials.
I would say is that they're tech savvy. So kind of the rise of technology and internet started with the millennial group. So that's something that they're well versed in. It's something that they kind of help, you know, push forward for all generations. And so tech savvy is the first thing that pops to mind for millennials.
Open-minded. Yeah.
Financially conscious.
Millennials, that's hard. Because like I said, my daughter is a millennial. She's a very hard worker. She's dedicated. She's punctual. But then I see others who are, they're penny pinchers. They're, you know, but they don't like nice things, but they only want to spend it on the nice things, not be frugal about it, but it's not cheap. They don't want cheap things, but they don't want to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on things, but they still want it to look nice. Mm-hmm. So I think they're more of a penny pincher type, but want nice things kind of.
I think millennials are awesome. I mean, I've worked with so many. They've had to put up with so much, and they really, their attitudes to me are just so committed and focused. And they're the hardest one for me to come up with one quality, because I think they've been underrated. That's their quality. They're underrated.
Are bad fashion?
I'm going to go with adventurous.
I think we're intellectually curious.
I think we're adaptable.
I think they're very motivated.
I think they're trying to catch up. You know, I have a son who's I have two children who are millennials, and they're doing pretty good. But a lot of the folks got caught short with, you know, the dot-com bust, the 2008, you know, market crash, all these things that, you know, kind of hurt them as far as, well, there's more of them than there are of us. They're in a tougher place to get to their retirement than the other generations.
Gen Z.
Innovative. Like I said, with AI, the amount of, you know, memes that have caught on for whether it's politicians, whether it's music artists, whether it's brands, they have really found a way to connect with a large audience through new technology. So I think that Gen Z is pretty innovative in that sense.
Ooh, strong-willed.
We are woke. We need to be politically correct. And it's okay to accept that. It's okay.
They're entitled. I have a son, and I remind him daily that he's not entitled. he may feel that way. And, you know, I notice a lot of, I work with a lot of Gen Z, and it's on their time. They, you know, like we told, spoke earlier about being scolded. If you tell them what to do without asking them what to do, it's like they're being scolded or, you know, made to feel guilty. Or sister's thing tonight, oh, you're making me feel guilty. No, that's just the right thing to do because she's your sister or your dad or whatever quality to have. But I think they feel more entitled than most.
Gen Z is going to change the world. And Lord let them. Like, they excite me. I think Gen Z wants alignment, and I think that they will help us find it if we let them. But I think they may do it even if we don't.
Gen Z, little judgy.
Introspective.
Gen Z feel like they came in ready to make a change.
I'm trying to keep them positive. I would say they are very tech savvy, but they also seem kind of like cause oriented, or like they, you know, want their professional life and personal values to very closely align.
I don't think they're afraid of AI, which I think is a really big thing right now.
They're probably the most racially and ethnically diverse group of all the age groups, Generation Z or Millennials or Generation X, the most diverse.